January is when we recommit to the habits that support our health and well-being. And naturally, we start looking at what can support those goals, including supplements. But choosing the right supplements can be confusing, because not only are there so many brands out there, the supplement industry itself is a low-trust category. It's lightly regulated, products are easy to make, and companies don't even have to list everything on their label. Now, there's Momentous. They've become the high-trust brand in a low-trust category. They weren't satisfied with the industry standard, so they built the Momentous Standard, their commitment to doing things the right way, not the easy way. Momentous sources the highest quality ingredients on the planet. Their whey protein comes from grass-fed European dairy cows. Their creatine uses the purest form of creatine monohydrate, and every formula is made with clinically backed, highly bioavailable nutrients, with no fillers and no artificial sweeteners. Right now, Momentous is offering listeners up to 35% off your first order with promo code AUDIOBOOM. Head to livemomentous.com and use promo code AUDIOBOOM for up to 35% off your first order. That's livemomentous.com, promo code AUDIOBOOM.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back on ESPN 97.5. So listen, the Big Ten, right, here's where the Big Ten said, wait a minute, we're going to reconsider this. Ohio State head coach, we'll consider changing conferences if needed. You know what? Ohio State wants. Now, Ohio State allegedly voted no to the season. But Ryan Day came out and said, because it was only supposed to, I guess it was 12-2, and it was Iowa. This is what Dan Patrick reported anyway. Well, I don't know for sure whether or not his report was accurate or whatever the case may be. Are you open to exploring another conference to play in? If that's the only option at the time, we need to explore it. What? If Ohio State threatens to leave the Big Ten, guess what they're doing? Playing football this year. I hope so. That would be totally, totally sweet.
What has come out, apparently, is the Big Ten has always been in lockstep with all their decisions. Like, they've always been together. And this is like the first major break where they're not all locked in and making the same move. So the commissioner, he's new to the job. So everyone's saying, you better find a way to get a consensus one way or the other, because we don't like drama. We're not the SEC.
Well, so, let's call Ross Dellinger right now. He is he's following this for Sports Illustrated. He's been one of the ones who's at the forefront of the discussions about the heart condition. There's something that came out today about UC San Diego saying also there's an issue with brains. I haven't read this, but somebody sent it to me.
So you're calling now?
COVID in the brain. So Ross is, just call now. Oh, it didn't come through?
He might need a number, but that's all right. I can certainly see. And I can certainly see where, maybe not Ohio State, and maybe it will be Ohio State, says, you know what, we're playing football. I could see Iowa, Nebraska. I could see a lot of different colleges. I mean, the way that, I haven't talked to anybody over at U of H recently, but the way that they were talking, man, we're playing football and we're doing it right. We're going to do it right. We're going to spend the money and we're going to play football. And if the AAC decides they're not going to play, I could see, certainly see the University of Houston say, you know what, we'll piecemeal a schedule together and we're going to play. I don't know. Haven't talked to anybody over there recently. I don't think they're doing any media. They're not doing any media right now.
No one is. No one from any conference should be doing media, personally, I don't think.
So I certainly could see that would be the case. Ross Dellinger is joining us now, ISI, with us here talking college football on a big, big day. A big, big week for college football as all of the conferences are deciding whether or not they're going to play. Ross, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good. How are y'all doing?
Doing great. You were down here. I was with you over at the Astros game when you were following Dana around, and that was a fun day. But let's talk a little bit about what is going on, Ross, right now. Because yesterday it seemed like the Big Ten was dead, and now, wait a minute, some schools are pushing back, and it may not happen. What's the deal?
It's been crazy. It's been quite a crazy few days. We've gone back and forth, and And, you know, it sure sounded like, as SI and some others have reported on Sunday, that the Big Ten was heading toward a canceled season and was engaging other Power Five conference leaders in joining them. That seems to have slowed a little bit, probably because of what happened yesterday. You know, a day of just about a person from every realm seemed to come forward and strongly voice their opinion. High-ranking politicians, the president, some U.S. senators, a congressman, their own players, and, of course, their own big-time coaches. So it seems that, at least I'm talking to people around the industry, that maybe they're now going to delay or postpone the season start instead of just completely canceling it. I know that ESPN late last night reported that the meeting is late morning today, around lunchtime maybe. They might have an announcement in that the presidents who are reported dead set, it seemed, over the weekend on canceling the season and telling that to other Power Five conferences. They talked to their ADs on Monday, and all the pressure happened and the internal strife, and it looks like now they're backing away a little bit. So crazy turn of events.
Ross Dellinger with us here on ESPN 97.5. What about, okay, Ross, let's say some conferences and the MAC has already said, the Mountain West has already said, what about rogue schools saying, you know what, we're going to play? How do you think that looks? And even if the Big Ten does, Nebraska has said, and Ohio State and Iowa possibly pushing back and saying, you know what, we're going to play. What do you think about that scenario?
Yeah. I saw, you know, Nebraska's quotes, and that just tells you the, as I mentioned earlier, the internal strife right now in the Big Ten. There clearly is a split among the conference. And I think, you know, there's a split among probably a lot of conferences around the nation when they canceled. I mean, even the Mountain West, I know that they didn't all really agree over there on things. But because it's the Big Ten, you're hearing it, it's louder, and it's more public. And one of the big things yesterday was Scott Frost saying, basically, well, if the Big Ten decides not to play, we will just go find our new season of some sort where we'll cobble together, you know, a schedule of some kind. And I think I saw one of the outlets up there in Nebraska report that they had already reached out to several schools within a 500-mile radius, including some Big 12 schools, about potentially playing Nebraska had. So those are the kind of things that will change minds and decisions, and I think that's part of what's happened.
I think it's interesting because no matter what the information is and the data is, and this has kind of transpired, I think, over the last 3 months, it really depends how the same set of data and the same information can be interpreted and can be, well, it can certainly be disseminated differently, but it can be interpreted differently by different people as well. For example, the info that you wrote about, which was the inflammation of the heart, the myocarditis, and you talked to a doctor, Dr. Martinez, that is a concern, right? The long-term potential issues to the heart, including for people who are asymptomatic. However, further along in your article, you talk about how it is somewhat rare for that to happen, but it does happen. Well, you could take then that information and say it's rare for someone to break their neck. It's rare for things that can happen in college football, and yet they don't stop. College football doesn't start. So I just think it's interesting to see how people interpret the data and the information if they say, why should any of these kids, you know, take any chances with their heart? And others would say, the odds are so low, why should we not continue to play when the odds are very low?
Yeah, these are great points, and even doctors right now are split on things. I think to play devil's advocate about the other potential ramifications of playing football, like breaking your neck or something, to play devil's advocate there is the virus is novel. It's new, and I think doctors can't agree, it seems like, on anything because everything's unknown. So the reason we wrote that story Sunday is because we were hearing over the last week this issue bubbling up among conference commissioners and it being kind of a last straw among several, including the Big Ten, to potentially canceling a season. And so we dove into the issue, and it's the great unknown more so than the issue itself. I mean, the issue itself is pretty scary when you think about an enlarged heart and an inflamed heart. And doctors don't know if that's a long-term, short-term thing. They don't know specifics about the severity yet, but they are seeing it more and more in younger athletes. And you're right, the number is small. I think we put in there, and then ESPN followed us and did a story on the same thing yesterday. And they had this, some of the same information. There's about a dozen college football players, at least one doctor told me, with it in college football. You think about the numbers, and obviously that's small, but I think it's the consequences of it in the unknown that scares college executives.
We've got Ross Dellinger with us here on ESPN 97.5. How do you think this plays out now? Well, I believe, you know, Lance and I, we had a little bet yesterday. I believe that not only will the SEC, now I think all Power 5 are going to play. I think the Pac-12, when they see the Big 12 pushing back now, a Big 10 pushing back now a little bit, they're going to come on board and they're going to try it. I think we're going to see all of Power 5. What do you think?
The dominoes effect is real. You know, when one goes, the other goes, then the other goes, and then they all go. And I think that's what we all expected and what we reported on Sunday, is that from all indications, the Big Ten was going to go, Pac-12 was going to go right away with them. The Big 12 was leaning toward going, and if that happened, that was it. But I think you're right. I think the public and political pressure that came out yesterday has spooked the Big Ten into at least just postponing or delaying, and probably the same for the Pac-12. The Big 12 seems to be kind of waffling a little bit in the middle, but if those two stay, I don't see the Big 12 pulling the trigger. And obviously the SEC and ACC, they're on board to keep advancing, along with the other three group of fives.
I think if the SEC is the only one left, they're still going to play. You know what? The SEC is going to say, we don't need y'all anyway. Our conference will decide the national champ either way. That's how the SEC rolls. And you know what? They've been right a lot of the time. We got Ross Dellinger with us here on ESPN 97. How this has got to be like one of the worst things to cover ever. With all the unknowns, Ross, and wouldn't it be great to just cover football?
And by the way, none of it's good. Yeah. Everything you're covering right now is like, man, oh, okay, so this is technically more bad news or just average news?
What is it?
Because there's rarely any good news with any of this unless you really try to look for it. But it's going to be interesting, Ross. It's been fluid up to this point. We see how fluid just over the last 24 hours, how fluid it is. And that doesn't mean football's here to stay either. And point that out. I mean, this is a delay for the Big Ten. And once again, if the Big Ten and Pac-10 shut it down, or Pac-12, I do think that I think the other conferences will follow. But there is so much at play here, so much at work. This is one of the most complicated things we've seen. And if there are professional sports, it would go. College sports, that's why, you know, we'll see what happens with that one.
That's the thing. Is this all delaying the inevitable? It might just be. You know, students are going to come back to campus over the next few days. You're going to start having everybody be colliding in camps. There's going to probably, if you talk to administration doctors, be a spike. And what will happen then?
Absolutely. Ross Dellinger, SI, here on ESPN 97.5. Ross, good talking to you. And we appreciate it, and hopefully we can check in when we're playing football and actually talk some football.
Yep, absolutely. Thanks, guys.
It's Ross Dellinger right here on ESPN
97.5. Before we head out, Jeff Katchum, a guy who's been on the station before, said he talked to a Big Ten coach overnight that he's known for 20 years, and the conference is being blamed for shutting down the sport is already impacting recruiting. That thought that, hey, if you guys go away, you're going to ruin the football. He says one top 21 target, which means a guy who would sign in December or February, told this coaching staff that he would go to a school in a conference that supports football. So that's another thing.
I hadn't even thought of that angle.
How about that?
And because there will be other ones who think we're not important to you. You would have us play. We're not important enough to cancel. See, it could go either way. And I'd never thought about that angle for players to be considering that. I guess it depends on the parents some and maybe the kid too.
Yeah.
All right. That's a little jab at the conference, isn't it?
Site jab. Everything is not always a jab at something before I do site jab. Is. No, it's not. Site jab is a company who doesn't jab you. They simply make, they simply do what they need to do to make sure that your website is as good as it possibly can be. And if you have a small to medium sized business, you need to have a website that tells people who you are, that flows effectively, that has, a good user interface, and that gives people the opportunity to more deeply engage with your product so that they can become a client. And if that's not the case, if you're not seeing, the leads generated from your website, chances are your website's not very good. And even if your website is just 2 years old, you might have a website that is not current. Make sure that you go with the experts at SiteJab. They're a local company, been doing it for over two decades. They've continued to keep pace with the changing websites in the industry so that they make sure your websites are current. They can build it for you within 3 to 6 weeks from scratch, whether it's something that needs to be completely built from scratch or if you just need to have your website remodeled, they can do just that. Go to the website, sitejab.com. Take a look at the portfolio if you want to see some of the work they've done, or go to the web design tab, or just go take a look at all the services they offer. And if e-commerce is something you want to get started, they can help you do that as well. Sitejab.com. Call them today at 713-999-4661.
Booted Red Rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
CJ says this: what about the possible lawsuits that come to the conference schools for players whose draft stock plummets because they didn't play? Don't tell me it wouldn't happen. People sue over a lot less. CJ.
Didn't play.
You're an Aggie fan. You don't have any players drafting.
That's ugly. But to his
point,
know
about that?
I don't know about suing, but Joe.
Texas. That's right. Talking about Texas.
It's Texas. Joe Burrow tweeted out yesterday. Hey, he feels for everyone, those kids who may not get to play, because he says, if not for my year, maybe I'm looking for a job right now.
Yeah,
he probably
would be.
Joe Burrow would have right. What was Joe Burrow?
Joe projected? Burrow's 2018 tape was bad.
So what was Joe Burrow's projected draft spot?
5 through 7.
Yeah. Sixth rounder before the season. Number one overall pick.
I thought
after.
He was a 6-7. Some had him as high as like 5.
Yeah.
5. Just because I don't know why. Just because I didn't think he was.
Oh,
so good.
Tom Brady was in the sixth round, too. Oh, greatest quarterbacks ever. Mm-hmm. Oh, guess what?
But he wasn't drafted in the sixth round.
He
was drafted.
But if he didn't play his senior year, Tom Brady didn't.
But he did, and he got drafted first, so he could be Achille Smith.
Okay. He's not Achille Smith. Wow. Achille Smith was third overall.
Yeah.
First rounder. Cincinnati.
Jamarcus.
Jamarcus. Oh, you think he eats
he
like Jamarcus?
He could be Jamarcus.
No, he doesn't eat like Jamunchies.
Jamunchies problem. Well,
how many big years did Jamarcus have?
At LSU? One. Joe Burrow had two. He took him to the Fiesta Bowl the year before.
he didn't have two big years.
He had a big year.
No, he didn't.
He had a huge year. He took him to the...
No, it was Fiesta Bowl. He put up Stidham numbers in that junior year.
Wait,
no.
Fiesta Bowl is when he
numbers?
Got lit up
oh,
by UCF?
Oh, you mean
UCF?
The starting quarterback for the Patriots?
Hold on, that was a Fiesta Bowl when they played UCF?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
God, the Fiesta Bowl must not matter anymore.
Oh, really? Oh.
And I remember it was rain. Like,
it wasn't rain.
No, it wasn't rain. It seemed like there was a nasty.
Joe Burrow got knocked out, up,
I'm probably
and
thinking
said,
Notre Dame LSU is what I'm thinking the year before.
Yeah,
yeah. That was down in Florida.
That's when I saw the greatest game I've ever seen by an interior lineman. Quentin Nelson obliterated LSU. I've never seen an offensive lineman that good against other humans in a college football game.
That was
in a bowl.
That was when LSU football didn't really matter. Not like this past year. What? National champs, greatest school season ever. by Joe Burrow.
Yeah, we understand who played.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good night. So anyway, what about our Rockets at 1 o'clock today? I'm excited. How about everybody takes off? How about we go? I think I'm gonna go play a little poker and watch a game. We'll be watching a game while I'm playing poker at Prime. Let's go. Who wants to come and get in on the tournament? Who's in? All right.
Everyone takes off. First of all, your day is over at 11. So let me.
I work my ass off.
Do you?
Hey, everybody. Your life is just like mine. You'll be watching basketball at 1 o'clock. Should put some respect on people's jobs.
And the unfortunate
part... they don't get up early like I do and put a full...
Actually, many people do.
...full-ass day in before by... by 11 o'clock than most people do all day long.
Yep. You're the Marines.
Yeah, the dark timeline is people don't have jobs to take off from.
Oh.
Well, then they can watch Rockets.
That's the dark timeline.
They can watch Rockets.
Bring 120 bucks.
You know what I'm
going to
do for them then? This is what I'm going to do for them. Caller number 6. Not now.
At
8:30 exactly. 8:30 exactly. Caller number 6. Black Bear Diner. It's a family diner. It offers one-of-a-kind experience and home-style comfort food classics. They're currently open for curbside pickup, delivery, and also dine-in right here in the Houston area. At 8:30 exactly. If you, and we've got the atomic clock here, you can start making the phone calls. And once we get to the sixth caller, you'll want a $25 gift card to try out their limited edition welcome back menu featuring special dishes, including breakfast plates, fish tacos, meatloaf, and much more. Visit blackbeardiner.com and view all the delicious menu offerings, hours, and more. Forget, it's a local company who is supporting, ESPN 97.5 right now. We want to support them as well. BlackBearDiner.com. Comfort food. We got a $25 gift. See, right off the bat. You better be talking about Carlos Correa calling right now or you'll be eliminated. You'll be eliminated. It's got to be at 8:30. At 8:30, the sixth caller at 8:30 to 713-780-3776.
Yep. See, and this is the dumb part. Here's the terrible part. I'm looking at all the stories. Football players are better and safer at Bama than at home. He says, we've got a 2% positive ratio, but that's higher. It's higher in society, yeah. But when Donald Trump tweets support for college football season and pandemic, that's a death knell. Please don't do that.
Just stay out of it.
Stay out of it, please.
What you did with all the stuff that you
everything, liked. Everything that just you stop. Like. If you like it, then everybody's going to hate it. Please stop it.
Stop jinxing college football.
Oh, wow. I do like Notre Dame, 99.7. Of course, that is Notre Dame. A lot of smart kids over there, right? You would think, yeah.
That's full students, right? Not
full
athletes.
Students. Yeah, full 99.7.
Students. That's good.
Tested negative for coronavirus, if we can believe the coronavirus test.
Yeah, and then Arizona apparently... What they're doing is they're
all... What's Arizona at? 60% positive?
No, actually, it's a lot better.
Okay.
They tested 600 kids because they're going to test everyone who lives on campus. And then they're offering free testing to off-campus housing as well. They tested 600 kids and only one came back positive. So maybe the college kids are like, yeah, we don't really want this thing. So at least so far, not so bad coming back to campus. We'll see how it goes in the rest of the country.
Right. So this was out there by Ian, put this out. He said, I'm not sure I want now the Rockets win and Utah loses. Rockets in the 3 seed. So, and Ian said, not sure I want that because you get Utah in the first round, but you get the Clippers in the second round. I'll sign me up for Utah in the first round and Clippers in the second round. You got to get through Utah and. So you got to get through Utah. I mean, you got to get through the Clippers and the Lakers anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've always said, but you want to go as far as you possibly can. I don't know that it's going to be. Oh, it's going to be so much easier to go through to LA, the Lakers, than it is the Clippers. No.
If you're going to be a championship team,
the Lakers are going to turn it on.
If you're going to be a championship team, just play whoever you play.
Yeah.
I mean, I firmly believe the Rockets had to beat 360 win teams. They're like, whatever. If you're a championship team, then you're about it, and you'll do whatever it takes, and you have the ability to beat whoever. I get it. You want to
go as far as you can.
if you face them then, you face them then. My thing is, okay, you could want a team to get beat.
Right.
Like, you could want the Clippers to get beat in the first round, well, or the Lakers get beat in the first round.
Well, and AJ will say, oh, Granada, you're hypocritical, because last year during the postseason, it was LA, it was, who was it going to be? LSU, Ohio State, or Clemson that was the number one team? It was clearly Oklahoma was the fourth team. And I was like, oh, LSU should be the number one seed. They should be the, they got to be the number one seed.
Oh,
they deserve
hypocrite.
The number one seed. But I wanted to play, because I wanted to play Oklahoma. But it's different, because you didn't, if you play Oklahoma, you don't have to go through Clemson and Ohio State. That was much
well, you
different.
Want to play the weakest
to
game.
Get to the NBA Finals, you have to play the Clippers and the Lakers. So it's totally different. You, of course, I wanted the easier Oklahoma route. Who wants to play Ohio State? And
everyone
Clemson?
Wants the easiest route.
Let Ohio play.
The Rockets never had to beat the Sonics for a championship, and yeah. They were hecklers.
Guess what? They were thrilled when the Sonics lost that first round.
And I would be thrilled if the Lakers lost in the first round.
No, not quite.
I would be thrilled. I would be thrilled if that happened. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, right.
No
right.
One thought Seattle was going to get beat by Denver either.
But the fact of the matter is
you mess around
LSU, LSU, if LSU was the second seed, they would have had to play Ohio State and Clemson. But this is different. You're going to have to get through the Clippers and the Lakers. Both. They're both getting to the finals. Who's going to beat them? Denver? No. Denver ain't beating nobody.
Hold up.
Oklahoma City ain't beating nobody. They ain't beating. Who's going to beat them? Memphis? No. So you guess what? You got to go through both teams. Now, do you want to go as far as possible? Yes. Is it a better season if you get to the Western Conference Finals than to the Western Conference Semis? Yes. Ask Tillman which one he would rather have.
I'm telling you right now, the Lakers right now are praying that they don't end up catching Portland, because you just don't want to see Dame and McCollum.
Yeah.
You don't want to see a team that is back together and is healthy again. That is not a fun eight seed. I would put Portland as a potential live dog in terms of an 8-1.
That's one team that could, yeah.
Not Memphis, obviously. And I think that Dallas matters, but, you know, Dallas is not going. I mean, Dallas is locked in. But of these teams, you know, I don't think you want to see Phoenix, but I just think, I mean, Phoenix has been red hot, but I think the veteran presence would matter, where Phoenix would be like, you're back. Get back to being.
Guess what? You won eight straight games.
You don't want to see Portland, though.
That was nice. No, you don't want to see Portland. Portland is the one outlier
that
could beat the Clippers or the Lakers. Yes, Portland is the one outlier.
See, I think they could beat the Lakers. I don't think they can beat, as long as you have three perimeter defenders who can step out on McCollum and Dame at any time, and that's what the Clippers have.
Hey, Montrezl just got back.
I know, but okay.
He's got a quarantine. Right. He's still, so he may, I don't know, how long is the quarantine now for him? He was gone 3 weeks. Was it 10 days? Does
it
he have to
should
sit?
Be 10 days. Is
it, I don't know. It might be 4 days. I mean, I've seen
well,
4 days.
Well, it depends on
before.
If he had a test before.
If he was tested consistently up until he joined and was negative all the time, it may be 4. Because he never entered the bubble.
Right. So he's
might be even 2, because he never left. He just... I don't think he ever entered the bubble, right?
No, I think he left for 3 weeks. Okay, he was there. He
so
was there.
At a minimum 4.
Minimum 4 days, and if he has any positive tests, it's going to be at least 10.
Yeah.
Do we have an intern answering right now?
Yeah, he's answering the
phone. Okay. So we're about to have a winner, so if you're already calling, right, if you haven't called yet, don't call, because you're going to lose.
Yeah, we've already got a winner. We've already got a winner. So congratulations, and you
BlackBearDiner.com, $25 gift
good.
Card.
That looks good.
It does.
I love diners.
You like comfort food, too?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah, what food don't you like? I mean, when you said, as soon as you had me at meatloaf.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, you're a meatloaf guy?
Oh, man, or pot roast.
See, meatloaf. I didn't like meatloaf when I was a kid, and I like it now.
Yeah, no. My mom would burn the top. It was really
good.
Oh,
well, yeah. Well, she probably put ketchup on it, right, so it would crust over. Yeah. The sugar in the ketchup gets a little crusty.
Yeah, okay. I mean,
how do you guys feel about Guy Fieri?
Frankly, there's just... too many white people.
What, the meatloaf?
Meatloaf.
See, I feel like meatloaf could be also like a soul food.
I feel like it could be. Well, maybe not
macaroni
the way you
and cheese is, and that's also considered a white food.
Well, we bake macaroni and cheese.
Dry it out?
No,
that's not dry. It's not dry.
See,
baking something is drying it
not
out.
Not the way.
White people do that too.
Well, clearly not that white person.
No, I like it creamy. I like the WAP of macaroni and cheese.
WAP macaroni and cheese.
Ooh. Yeah.
She did make a reference to macaroni in a pot in her song.
WAP.
No, but if you do it
then
the
try
right,
not to have a pot then.
That's
if you
unhealthy.
Do it, you're worrying about the macaroni. You shouldn't be worried. You need to worry about that
if
pot.
If you bake it the right way or prepare it the right way, it won't be dry, because you're obviously you boil the noodles. It can be done if you do it the right way.
What are you putting on the top?
Depends on what you're into.
Ketchup. I'm asking what you put it on.
Ketchup.
We're talking about ketchup macaroni.
Ketchup on top of macaroni and cheese,
oh,
sir?
Oh, macaroni cheese. Yeah. No. Cheese. You put cheese on top.
Yeah, you can sprinkle cheese in it. Yeah. You do a lot of things.
I guarantee you there are kids who put ketchup on macaroni
and cheese. No, that's stupid.
Probably your kids.
Not my kids.
No, your kids won't even eat macaroni and cheese.
My kids, I got one kid who's a ketchup kid in Mason, and one kid who's a ranch kid. You know, eventually when the kids find out about ranch, you can put ranch on anything.
No.
It's like a door opens for them, like, I can put ranch on damn near anything.
Maybe you should have some mass kids. And you know where they would go? John?
Oh, I know where they would go. They would go to Boomer Naturals.
Can millennials get Boomer Naturals?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
I'm just checking.
Now, it was originally Boomer Naturals. I asked Suzanne about this, and are you from Oklahoma, or what's this deal about? No. We make products for boomers, and we got into the mask business as well, but they're doing it better than anybody. Listen, they had the nano silver technology, which is the only reason that you're wearing a mask, people, is so that you don't catch the coronavirus or give it to anyone else. So you need something that is actually going to trap the tiny particles, the droplets that come near your face area. Well, that's what you do. There's a lot of these paper masks that you're just like, why are you even wearing that? And oh, by the way, stop wearing it below your nose because that's not helping anything. Here's the deal is if you are going to wear a mask, wear one that's protective. And wear one that you can breathe in. And these are breathable. And oh, by the way, you can wear them for a month. You wash, you put it in a little soapy water at night, you rinse it off, you leave it out, it dries, you wear it the next day. And you can continue to do this for a month. And they've got great deals. And oh, by the way, they also, every time that you buy one, they're going to donate one to a charity. And if you buy $50 or more, free shipping and handling, all delivered to you at your home. You don't have to do anything. Get online and go to BoomerNaturals.com. That's BoomerNaturals.com.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. Anything you want to talk about, you're more than welcome. Please come on in to the show. We want you to hang out with us here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776 is the number to hang out with us and just be part of the show.
Is grilled cheese political? Damian Woody said, wait, college football is political now? I said, Damian, everything is political. I said, grilled cheese will be political.
I don't think
eventually.
Grilled cheese is
Do you think
political?
It's political? Okay. I'm going to show you why it isn't. I'm going to show you why it is. It's not political, but it's controversial. Is grilled cheese controversial? No, right? Grilled cheese?
No.
Okay. What do you grill your grilled cheese with? What do you put on your bread?
Butter.
Interesting. Because, you know, a lot of chefs and a lot of other people put mayonnaise on there, and they grill it with
mayonnaise. That's not political. There's nothing to do with politics.
It's controversial.
It's not. It has nothing to do with politics.
What do you think of mayonnaise on your bread?
I don't do it.
Would you eat it?
Well, I don't know. Right now.
Maybe I'd try it.
If you put a Kraft single in your grilled cheese, you're a MAGA hat-wearing racist. I just made it political.
Wow. Wow. He just made grilled cheese political.
If you put a Kraft single.
It has nothing
single,
to do with MAGA
if
or
you
the president.
Put a Kraft single.
If
I
president
bet you
Trump
he would,
came out and said,
oh, I
support grilled cheese, you'd have people going, well, we got to boycott grilled cheese. Like, how do you boycott grilled cheese? What? I don't know.
This is for the farmers in Wisconsin. I love them. We're going to all eat grilled cheese.
Mr. President.
Maybe it might eliminate COVID. There's talk.
Mr. President, is your recent push for cheese and grilled cheese in general and Wisconsin have anything to do with the election? No.
Yeah. I love Wisconsin.
Football in Ohio must go on. And in Pennsylvania.
Yeah. And Michigan.
Swing states are all in the Big Ten.
And maybe North Carolina, too.
Oh, you don't think college football fans now love Trump?
Florida.
Joe Biden said cancel the season.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he did. I'm pretty sure he did.
He didn't say a word.
I didn't hear
Joe Biden needs to sit this out. Don't have an opinion right now. You mess around and lose swing states.
You can't agree with the president.
You can mess around and lose some swing states.
You can't agree.
If you agree with them,
yeah, then you're
and
done.
Then if you vote no, and then you have people in Ohio going, I was going to vote Biden, but I'm also a huge Buckeyes fan. What did a Buckeyes fan a lot longer? I was just going to be a crossover vote. This is a lot bigger for me on the Buckeye side of this.
Keep your mouth shut.
You want to lose all those Michigan votes?
Could Joe Biden potentially lose an election if he comes out against college football restarting?
It's a real possibility.
Yeah. I mean, it affects the Big Ten or the swing states. The Big Ten are the swing states.
He can't come out as a Buckeye fan. Did you say come out as a Buckeye?
No.
Yeah.
Come out against college football.
No, come out against college football reopening.
Before you're like 10. A Buckeye.
A Buckeye could be a crossover voter who goes, I was going to cross party lines and vote this way.
What if Joe Biden said, I'm a big Ohio State fan?
Well, you don't say
you just lost Michigan.
Then you lose Michigan.
Yeah, you lose all
you
got
to say, to me, when I
you
think
could lose
of,
Pennsylvania, too.
I think we have to be very careful with college football and let the experts handle this. Because when you look at the great institutions like Penn State and Ohio State and Michigan, boom, boom, boom.
Then Wisconsin says, what about us?
And, of course, Wisconsin gets overlooked all the time. Who's always going to the Rose Bowl? Wisconsin.
And look at Nebraska.
It's just such a great conference. You got to let Nebraska go.
No, but I love how they're rebel. They feel like
Iowa,
rebels.
Iowa, Nebraska, I'm losing you anyway. Whatever.
They are probably. Those are probably red.
You guys can shut down, play. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
California, do whatever you want. New York, whatever. I got you.
Can Biden lose because of football? Yes, come on. Americans are stupid like that. You know?
No.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no question about that. So anyway, big vote today. So we didn't get anything yesterday. I was waiting yesterday to see Alex Cintron and Laureano.
Well, Laureano spoke, but
I'm talking about
suspensions.
There's suspensions.
As of yet.
Yeah, where's the? See, this is a tough one though for the commish. Am I siding with the Astros again here when their bench coach is taunting the player? And by the way, Laureano said, "Yeah, Garneau, they knew each other from minor league ball." He's like, you know what? He protected me. And I was glad.
Laureano said that?
Laureano said that. And he said, underneath the pile, he goes, you okay, buddy? And Garneau said, and he said, yeah, thanks. He said, thanks for tackling me.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Well, you were running to the other team's dugout.
Right.
I mean, that's a ballsy move. I give him some credit.
Yeah, but about halfway there, I immediately regret this decision.
No, like, why am I running to their dugout? And as soon as Garneau get, like I said, that's a high tackle. That you should be able to drive your legs through a tackle that high and at least get towards.
It was a Pro Bowl tackle because they're friends.
It was a Pro Bowl tackle because as soon as he caught any amount of contact, he's like, oh, crash.
Here's what he said.
I'm thinking, man.
The other days I've been on base, we've been chit-chatting, talking about life and family on the bases. Everything's great. I get along with everybody on the Astros. For example, Laureano said catcher Dustin Garneau, who tackled Laureano before he reached Cintron, was protecting me 100% the whole time. I really feel the respect. He's one of the best teammates I've ever had. He protected me. We were on the pile. He said to me, you good? I said, thank you. He said, don't worry. So I regret charging him because he's a loser. A suspension is understandable, but I hope it's not that many games. Joe Kelly still hasn't served his, but now he's got a arm issue.
He's got ouchie.
Yeah, and so he can't serve. He's going to have to get better, come back and pitch before he can serve his suspension.
Will Laureano, because he is not a relief pitcher, do they treat pitchers' suspensions differently because they're pitchers and they're not every day?
Right.
But in this time of COVID, and Laureano started a bench clearing brawl. What are we looking at as a everyday player?
I'm gonna say, hey, even if 5 games is a big chunk of a 60 game season,
it is.
I'm gonna say he gets 3 to 5.
And Cintron?
Cintron probably same. Cintron, you shut up over there. I mean, somebody said, I would imagine the commissioner is kind of sick of the Astros right now.
You're causing problems.
And you know what? I could certainly see that, where he's like, the Astros again?
Yeah, we've had 2 incidents, and they both involve the Astros.
Again with the Astros?
In a world where I told everyone there would be really big repercussions if you fight. both of them involved the Astros.
Yeah. And it had nothing to do, this one had nothing to do anyway with them cheating. No. This one was they brought on with their bench coach. Now, dude wasn't trying to hit him.
Well, but if you get hit twice, and you know, you may have a little, like, was, okay, yeah. If that guy gets a little, I might get pissed if I were hit a second time, and there's some words exchanged. It does appear, Cintron, when you see the view, the vantage point from the outfield into the dugout, dude, what are you doing? Yeah, he absolutely should get suspended. Just shut up. Let the little chirping go back and forth. Don't exacerbate the issue. Yeah. There's no reason for him to do
no,
that.
No, 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 he did. And
he's
it was
not even a player.
Cintron, stop. That was weak. That was stupid. Stay out of it. You know what? And first of all, how are the Astros going to complain about anybody when they're protected more than any team I've ever seen right now because of that 8-game suspension by Joe Kelly? You wouldn't think that's not a deterrent for every pitcher hitting the Astros? 100%. You would think that the Astros should be raking like never before because a pitcher's probably afraid to throw inside on them. Because if I hit him, I'm quite possibly they think my intent is that I'm trying to hit him, and I'm going to face an 8-game suspension.
I think the Astros, I'd be shocked if they don't lead the league in hitting other. McCullers got one yesterday. He hit somebody. I wonder if the Astros lead the league in hitting other baseball.
How ironic. How ironic that they be.
But man, I feel so sad that ESPN can't every day, like, Astros hit by pitch watch. The quest for their pound of flesh is in full effect. It's Major League Baseball, and the fans rejoice as the Astros are getting hit in the face and the neck every game. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry you had to pull that graphic down. I'm sorry.
Sorry. So sorry.
ESPN.
But yeah, because that's a stupid graphic anyway. Yesterday, I'm going to see Patrick Chastain. As a matter of fact, we were emailing back and forth, and he said, listen, it is awesome. We love the 97.5 listener, and the 97.5 listener is responding. And here's the deal. So two major things. Chastain at home. You have got a chance to shop online, and you don't have to worry about them upselling you. The pricing is real, and it's transparent. You don't get that same pricing. There are a lot of – here's what a lot of dealerships do. They add on. No dealer add-ons. They'll add on paint seal, fabric seal, window etching, tint, spray-in liners, nitrogen in the tires. When you get to the store to buy yours, you're like, hey, wait a minute. This is $3,000 more than we agreed upon. They don't do that. And watch, I'm telling you, a lot of dealers do that. That's no way to start a relationship. Not only a relationship where you're going to feel like your family. If they're going to do that at the beginning, then guess what's going to happen to you when you need service? And nobody services better than Chastain Ford. They are awesome. So if you're looking for that dealership that you can trust, Chastain Ford, and you can shop online, customize your payments, value your trade, get pre-approved, schedule a test drive, they'll deliver the car to you at your home. Chastain at home. ChastainFord.com, ChastainFord.com, or at the dealership on 610 Homestead, not Hempstead, 5 minutes from downtown. It's Chastain Ford.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Why would you want to advance longer in the playoffs if you ruin your draft slot? Money? That's what Tommy Stark says. Why would you want to? You're going to ruin your draft slot. Well, instead of picking 28th, you're going to pick 26th? No, he's not.
No, there are no draft
slots. Our NBA draft slots determined by team success for the year. If so, why would you want to lose?
He's not talking about Rockets, though, because then that would be a joke. The Rockets don't have any draft picks ever.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that is true.
That might be the joke.
No, it's not. No, he's asking it for real. Why would you? You're still a loser. What? But you make more money the further you advance in the playoffs.
Yeah.
The owners and the players.
Yeah. Yeah. Playoff shares are a real thing.
Yeah. Playoff shares. Now, most of the guys are. Do you think? I think that's probably James probably lights his cigars
like,
with
I didn't,
his playoff check.
I wasn't comfortable with – where were you when the Rockets were like 41-41 and they were going to be an 8 seed and get their asses kicked by Golden State? I know there's a lot of people like, I'm cheering against them because I want them in the lottery. And my thing was, no, I want them to make the playoffs. You give yourself a chance. You know what? If you're not good enough, take that ass kicking that you deserve for having this bad season.
Isn't it very rare for the 13th seed to get up to the – or the 14th seed to get up to the first or second?
I'd rather
third.
Have you. I'm always would rather be in the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. Yep. I would too. I mean, the lottery's for losers. You want to be in the playoffs.
And there's no guarantee that even if you, I don't know, maybe you finish seventh in the lottery, you're going to get a good player. We talked about Devin Booker quite a bit. He was the 13th pick in the lottery for the Suns. So they just missed the playoffs, I believe, and we're still. And still got maybe the best player in that draft.
Yeah.
One thing, if you study football, baseball, and basketball drafts at all, but especially football and basketball, you will see if you know how to evaluate talent, you find players. It doesn't matter. Look at one of the greatest at evaluating talent and finding talent in a draft has been was Ozzie Newsome, has been the Ravens. Dude wasn't drafted in the top 10 ever. Ever.
Mm-hmm.
You just find players. You know, it's something that you either can find players or you can't find players. And Ozzie Newsome, if you know where players are, if you know what a good player looks like, you find them. The whole argument about you could hurt your draft slot and go, I don't want the Texans to win this game because they could go from the 15th pick to the 13th
now,
pick or whatever.
If you're talking about getting Trevor Lawrence, that's another story.
Well, that's different.
Yeah.
But if you're talking about, I'm talking about what we've seen for years and years going from like, the 15th pick down to they could be the 10th pick instead of the 15th pick. You know what? If you know how to pick, if you know how to evaluate talent, it doesn't matter 15 or 10. You're going to do a good job of finding guys who know how to play football. That's the most overrated. I can find you. You can just go to Wikipedia. Every page has how many, you know, they color code the players who are drafted if they've been to a Pro Bowl or All Pro or whatever. And go look how many are not in the top 10. Many times. So I'm always in favor of trying to create a winning atmosphere. I'm always in favor of that. Now, yeah, if you're talking about the first pick of the draft, that's a different thing. I totally get saying, let's see, I got a chance to get a guy who can change everything or get a wide receiver. That's a big difference.
No, huge. Huge. So somebody said, man, if we lose our hitting coach, maybe we'll hit. I don't know that this is on. Is it Alex Cintron? Is he their new hitting coach? We never know who the hitting coach is. The only one we know is Brent Strom, right? Is that Alex Cintron is their hitting coach?
I don't know.
Yeah.
And bench coach, hitting coach.
No one knows that.
Yeah, he is. He's
remember,
the Strom,
it's only
but no
Brent,
one cares.
It's only Stromy.
I don't. Well, he's doing a terrible job.
Who's Stromy? He's doing an unbelievable job.
No, Cintron is he talking about?
Yeah. What's he doing?
Who? Cintron's terrible.
I thought Tony Snicker was the hitting coach. Do they have two hitting coaches?
I think Cintron maybe is just a bench coach. Doesn't matter. Whatever you are,
stop
talking.
Yeah, I think he is. I think he is the bench coach, right?
Yeah, he's just a bench coach.
Yeah. So
is Stromy doing a great job?
Stromy's doing a great job.
How so?
Dude, you have 10 guys who've made their major league debuts. What are you talking about?
How's that doing a great job? How are they doing?
Let me ask you this then. Who's this on, the hitters or the pitchers, this record right now?
They both share
no
culpability. So how good do you think the Astros pitching staff is right now? Do you think they're good?
Okay, let's take a look. 13 innings, they lose 3-2 when it was 1-1 for 12 innings.
And then the pitching
they lost 3-1 the next day.
Pitching staff blew leads.
Okay. They've lost 5-4. Oh, yeah, they lost 14-7. That's bad. That's a bad day. You know what, though? They've lost 4-2. They've lost 5-2. Get more flipping hits.
No, there's no question.
No, you got one of the best lineups in baseball. Get more hits.
You don't think they both?
They should be right now. They're 7-9. They should be 10-6 right now.
And
they should be 10-6
right now. If it wasn't for blowing those.
If it wasn't for how much they suck at hitting.
Blown save. You had Ryan Pressly blown save. Let's not forget that.
No, right.
But how many games they go into extra innings and lose when they scored three or less runs?
One, two, three. Well, no, they lost 5-4. They lost 4-2, 5-4, and 3-2 in extra innings.
Right now, their team ERA
sucks.
Their team ERA is like the league average. They're 4.19.
Yeah, they're average.
They're
and you know what they have? Above average hitting. And you know what they have? Guys who've never pitched before. 10 of them. Goodness gracious, are you kidding me? This is all on the bats.
Well, that doesn't mean Strom has done some great job with them.
Lance, they've got...
Well, don't say he's done a great job if their pitching hasn't been great. Just because they're out on the mound doesn't make them winners.
They lost their ace. They don't have their fourth starter.
Okay.
They've lost their closer. Most of the time Presley hasn't even been there. They've lost
Joe Smith
their
opted out.
Another Davinsky. Well, Davinsky. That's okay.
Yeah, Joe Smith opted out.
Joe Smith opted out.
I'm aware, but the guys that have been there, they're the third highest in the league in walks. They don't show any control. I'm just saying. I'm not saying. Boy, Strom's done a great job. But I think nothing about this pitching staff.
I think he's
great.
He's the assistant coach of the year. That's how crappy this.
No.
That's how. Listen, they don't have anything that they thought
they
were going to have.
That's a participation award you're giving them for. You're basically saying you win the award for having the hardest time. Yeah, I didn't say he didn't have
a hard
time.
I think he's.
What are they doing?
No,
though?
I think he's over with this staff. He's way overachieving.
Okay, his WHIP numbers are at 1.4. The 1.4 would put them. Their WHIP numbers right now, the Astros are second to last. 1.4. Walks and hits per nine innings are second to last. Only Pittsburgh and Boston are worse.
Okay.
That's not good.
Okay. Christian Javier, Brandon Bielak.
I understand. Blake,
but see, that's
he's
it.
Not doing great with them.
He's doing unbelievable with them. Unbelievable
well,
with
you
them.
Can pick like three, and then the other ones aren't doing so good.
No, Lance, we can pick way more than that. But that's just not the point. These guys are—they're making their major league debuts.
I didn't say he doesn't have a hard job.
Oh, it's the hardest job in all of baseball.
That's it. But the conversation isn't who's got the hardest job in baseball.
Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
Brian Flores got a lot of credit for piecing together five wins from a team that may have had the least amount of talent in football. Did he do a good job last year?
Yeah.
He did. Okay.
This is
the same situation.
Do we know the Astros pitching it?
Or worse.
No, but the Astros aren't. No, the
this
Astros
is worse.
Are worse. Yeah.
This is a worse situation than
Brett. And they're doing worse than what Miami.
Oh, no, they're average.
Their
pitchers are average. Miami was a 5-11
team.
No,
the pitchers aren't average. That was one. That was ERA. The rest of these, they're not average. Many of these numbers are not average.
Well, I just think it speaks to what.
ERA, run scored is the most important thing.
What should be realistically expected of these guys? Because if they're not that talented, then what is Brent Strom supposed to do?
Look at the guys that they're throwing out there.
Guys, I'm not. You're missing a point. I didn't say I'm not arguing he's got a horrible hand dealt to him. That's a separate conversation. Is he making lemon out of lemonade? Is he making lemonade out of lemons? No. I don't think he's making lemonade out of lemons.
I think he
has a few guys doing good and a lot of guys doing terrible.
I think he's making a wonderful lemonade. You know why?
His Cy Snead lemonade is terrible.
Well,
I would never buy this. Like, did you even put any sugar
really?
In this?
How's his
little girl?
How's his scrub lemonade? How's his Taylor lemonade? How's his Bielak lemonade? How's his Paredes lemonade? How's his
Paredes lemonade is average.
Oh, is it?
Yeah,
dude's got a 2.70.
It's just average.
He's got a 2.70.
He hasn't pitched that. Okay, then his McCullers lemonade is terrible. Then, if you just want to go off an ERA,
okay. Wait a minute, McCullers.
But that's not fair. That's what I'm saying. If you're just going to go off one bad. Outing for Lance
no,
McCullers.
I'm talking about the young guys that he's trying to bring along. McCullers, that's on McCullers, I think. I honestly do. McCullers, you're a veteran in the league. If you're not pitching well, that's on you.
That's not fair. That's a pitching coach's job, too.
No.
He's just coming off arm injury. He hasn't even been out.
Okay, well, guess what? He also threw seven scoreless innings yesterday.
If you sound like the anti-Bill O'Brien people who are like, when Deshaun does something bad... It's on Bill O'Brien, but when Deshaun does something good, Bill O'Brien gets
nothing
for it.
No, that's not
the
case. It's much different. These guys are rookies that he's bringing along, and they're actually pitching in the big leagues for the first time ever, and they're doing nice jobs. But McCullers has been there and done this before. McCullers is a guy that, you know what? You should be able to. He's supposed to be your number three starter. He's supposed to be good.
Arm troubles for. Going on 2 years, basically.
Well, wait a minute. So he had a bad outing.
He doesn't locate fastballs.
Okay, wait a minute. He had a really horrific, one horrific outing.
One horrific
the next
inning.
One. Okay, so the next one, he came back and threw seven scoreless innings. You're not giving Strom
any
credit?
No.
Are you going to give him any credit for that?
See, I'm going to go opposite of you on this. I think Strom deserves credit for stuff like that. And you want to know why? Because he's helped him obviously, he's locating fastball more. We saw it in yesterday's game. Relying on fastball, locating fastball. That's what a pitching coach is. But you don't get, like, but we're not going to give him anything for this pitch, you know, for these pitchers being terrible. All I'm saying is, I don't know that Strom's done. I'm a huge Brent Strom fan. I don't know that he's done some great job with this pitching staff. I think he's got a terrible hand he's been dealt.
Yeah.
I think this is an impossible win for Brent Strom.
I think he's done a great job. And I think the hitting coach sucks. Fire him today.
Centron and Snicker are the co-hitting coaches, apparently.
Centron's like, no, I'm just bench coach. It's him.
Oh, I'm looking at the staff.
Yeah, no, take my name off that thing. It's really more him.
If you go to the official Astros roster, they're co-hitting coaches.
Co-hitting coaches. Well, that one sucks. So get rid of him. The one that's helping Correa, doing a nice job.
How do you determine?
And Maldonado.
He's
working with the Hispanic players.
So Cinchon gets to stay?
Well, I don't know. He's talking about
Maldonado hit a home run yesterday. Correa got another base knocked in the first run.
I'm telling you, I'm putting this all on the hitters. You've got a veteran team of hitters.
Absolute Josh James.
Sneed has been terrible. But you know what? Every staff has terrible pitchers. You know what? They're terrible pitchers. If they're terrible pitchers,
It's the hitters.
Not even Brent Strom. No. You got Springer, Altuve, Bregman. You got Correa, Yuli. Brantley, you got one of the best lines in baseball, and you suck at hitting. You suck right now. This whole off. Okay, go by run score.
Could you turn your mic back on?
All the stats.
Are the most important.
We got runs. They should all be the same, basically, for the most part.
9 o'clock, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.